Was that beautiful? Yes. Thank you, Lonnie. Good morning and welcome to First Christian Church on this lovely Sunday morning. I know it's cloudy or hazy, whatever it is, but it's still a lovely Sunday morning. Early morning is, I think, the best part of the day. There was talk a few years ago about what would heaven be like for everybody. And for me, if it was crack of dawn in the summer, there would be no way to improve on that. I could live with that for eternity. So I am always so grateful when it's summer. Please sign the friendship pad that you'll find at the end of the pew, the little pink things I think Paul has been passing out. Sign those, pass them down, and look who's sitting close to you, and be sure to greet everyone. Remember that Fall Feast is coming up quickly, so please plan to attend. Registration closes at the end of August. I saw in today's scripture reading there's a verse that admonishes us to be humble. And so with that, I would like to point out the Adopt a Bathroom campaign. We want to clean them up. They're already clean, but we want them squeaky clean for the Fall Feast. We all use them, so let's make it a good experience while we're there. Carol Sage says we can paint, decorate, and if there's anything you need, contact her. So be sure to look through your bulletin for further announcements. Are there any that anybody has?
Could I just speak to a minute?
Sure.
I just wanted to tell you that there is a sign-up sheet for Adopt a Bathroom. And it does say pick a potty. I just want a disclaimer. I hate the word potty. Bathroom, okay. I can live with being the bathroom lady in the church. I don't want to be the potty lady. So let's go ahead and give a talk. Are you looking for a new fun thing to do on your date night? Do you need a new family project? How about a bonding experience for a group of friends on Friday night? We've got the deal for you. You adopt a bathroom. Yes, I did say adopt a bathroom. Our church has 9 bathrooms, and they are posted out there on a nice picture of the church, and so each one is in need of a very good, deep cleaning. You can do as much as you want to when you adopt your bathroom. You can just go in and deep clean it from head to toe. You can paint it. You can put up new pictures. Whatever your heart desires, it doesn't matter. But if you need extra funds, please talk to us at the property commission. This can be a once-in-a-lifetime experience. A person nowadays can adopt a highway, an elephant in Africa, a wild horse from Wyoming. So why not just adopt a bathroom? On your way out, don't forget to sign up. It's on the poster on the door. So thank you. We all appreciate your help.
So Carol was not a potty mouth. Anything else? All right, in that case, please stand and greet those around you, and then we'll sing Amazing Grace, found on page 546, verses 1, 2, and 4. Well done. Yes, it's okay. Yeah. please join me in the call to worship? Each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift.
God doesn't give us what we deserve.
God gives according to the measure of God's love.
Amazing grace, how sweet it is to save you and me.
God's amazing grace abounds.
God's grace knows no bounds. That's amazing.
Please pray with me. Make your ways known to us, Holy God. Show us the path on which we should walk. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you alone are the God who saves and the God who waits patiently to shower us with grace and blessings. To you we lift up our souls. To you we offer our praise and our prayer, our worship and thanksgiving, even our very lives. We ask your blessings and grace as we pray the prayer you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Glory be to the Father.
You may be seated. The theme of this morning's sermon is Christian unity, and there is a hymnal, a song in our hymnal that fits that perfectly. If you would turn to page 493, you'll notice that the first verse is in Spanish, so we're going to practice the pronunciation just a little bit. If you'd repeat after me. Somos uno en Cristo.
Somos uno.
Somos uno, uno solo. And then we'll repeat that. Somos uno en Cristo. Somos uno. Somos uno, uno solo. Un solo Dios.
Un solo Señor,
una sola fe,
un solo amor,
un solo bautismo,
un solo espíritu,
y ese es
el consolador.
You all sound bilingual already. We're going to have Lonnie play, and Becky and I will attempt to sing the first verse in Spanish. We invite you to join in and sing with us, and then we'll sing the song again in English. And just notice that that first line does repeat. Lonnie's giving a one-line intro.
Thank you.
like to invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing. Our friend Joan McNamara is here again.
Wow. Good morning. Okay, let's have a seat. Yes, Stanley.
Oh, Stanley.
Yeah, Stanley's hanging on the railing. Good morning. Are you afraid of me after last Saturday? I have to read something. When Pastor Cynthia sent me the lesson, I went, what am I going to do with it? So I'm going to read just, well, we kind of sang it, didn't we? Do I need to read the lesson? Well, why not? I'm just going to read a little part of it because it was kind of long. There is one body and one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. Now, there's a lot more, but I think I'd be taking up the whole service if I did it. So, I have been wondering, how am I going to show what is the body of Christ? Do you know, Evan? Ah, the last meal. I like that. Or the Last Supper, or the Eucharist, or the Communion. Okay, well, you know, I have here a piece of paper. And we have one strip for God the Father, one strip for God the Son, one strip for God the Holy Spirit. Ooh. One strip for one faith. I wonder what this is. Any idea what this is?
God's love.
Don't get ahead of me. You didn't hear that. This is for you and you and you and you and you and you and all those people out there. Would you hold that one for me? Thank you, Olivia. That's for everyone. But, now let's see if I can find the rest of it. But, they're all separate, right? Yeah? So let's try it again. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. What was this? Faith, one faith. And who's the final one, you remember?
God's love.
Everybody. She's getting ahead of me again. Can you get that for me? And this is for everybody. Does that look like one thing? Huh? Does that look like one thing? Does it?
Yeah. No.
No. But I have something here. Yeah, don't laugh. Well, here, open it up for me. Oh, it makes it look so easy. Very symbolic. Okay. Five different things held together by something. We're going to find. Yeah, did I get you? Okay. Oh. I'm trying to make it work. Okay. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, or one God, one Father, one Son, one faith, one people. What do I have?
One ball.
One ball. All united. What do you think we're all united by? Here, you can hold that if you want to. What do you think we're all united by? Somebody said it. Don't say it. We are all united by... Yeah. By what? Love. It's God's never-ending, abounding, and abiding love that keeps us all together. It's kind of sticky, isn't it? Want to feel my hand? So we are one body under God's love. And there was a song, almost like the one we sang, but this is going to be our closing prayer, okay? Everybody repeat after me. All right, let's bow our heads. Okay. We are one in the Spirit.
We are one in the Spirit.
We are one in the Lord.
We are one in the Lord.
We are one in the Spirit.
We are one in the Spirit.
We are one in the Lord.
We are one in the Lord.
And we pray.
And we pray.
That all unity.
That all unity.
May one day be restored.
May one day be restored.
And they'll know we are Christians.
And they'll know we are Christians.
By our love.
By our love.
And they'll know.
And they'll know.
We are Christians.
We are Christians.
By.
By.
God's love.
God's love.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Shall we go? All right.
Thank you, Joan. As our children head out to Children's Church and take pieces of our heart with them, I invite you to turn to the back of your bulletin to see a list of prayer concerns of our congregation. Our card tower this morning is for Gene and Pat Buck. Gene was in the hospital briefly this week. He is now at Poplar. He is fighting an infection, and he has a PICC line in. As long as he's on that antibiotic, he'll be staying at Poplar and doing some therapy and then hopefully heading home soon. So please pray for Gene and Pat. We continue to offer prayers of sympathy to our nursery attendant, Cheryl Dion, at her mother's death. A joy that we announced last Sunday is the birth of Matthew Stephen Huckfelt, grandchild to Steve and Cindy in Bakersfield, California. Congratulations to them. We continue to pray for little Matthew and his mom as he was born early. Please continue to hold in prayer our music director, Amber French. Amber continues to struggle with anxiety and depression. She has been accepted into the care of a physician in town who does a brain stimulation treatment. Amber is very hopeful that this treatment will make a big difference for her. She has been trying medication and therapy to no avail. She sees this doctor again tomorrow and will be fitted for a CAP as part of this process, and then hopes to begin the brain stimulation itself on Tuesday. Please pray for Amber. She is just truly struggling. It is a hard, hard time that she is wrestling with this illness. There are several senior members of our congregation who are listed. We pray for those who are not able to be with us in worship because of health or age. And we rejoice with those who are here today. It is a blessing this morning to welcome into our midst a PK, a preacher's kid. Some of you may remember Reverend Allen. His daughter is with us this morning and has brought her husband along. We are so thankful to have them visiting us from Broomfield, Colorado. Welcome. It is a blessing to have you here. Our list of community and world concerns includes the missionary Jeffrey Mincindic, who serves in Japan. And we continue to pray for communities and areas across the West affected by wildfires. There have been some fires even in Wyoming. The fires in California especially continue to burn mightily. One of our disciple colleagues in Colorado, her son is on a hotshot crew, and he's asked for prayers for the firefighters who were killed fighting blazes this summer. Our prayer partners today are the members of First Christian Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. Their pastor, Steve Willis, was killed in a boating accident early this week. He and his wife were celebrating their one-year anniversary with a cruise to Alaska. And they went on a boating excursion, and the boat they were in overturned. Pastor Steve died during that incident. So please pray for his wife and for all the members of the church that he serves as they struggle with this unexpected loss. Prayers for Cal Decker's mom, Mary, who's recovering from a mini stroke, and prayers for Paul Smith's wife, Melanie, who is at Wyoming Medical Center. Pray for her healing. Dewey Smith continues to have high pressure in his eye. He's had multiple treatments in that eye before, and he is struggling again. So please pray for Dewey as well this morning. Are there others today that we want to name, joys to share, or concerns? Tricia. We are thankful that the diagnosis is stage one, that the cancer is not further advanced, that they were able to find Trisha's dad's cancer at this point. He'll have a port put in on the 13th, and we pray that the treatments that follow that are very effective. Paul. Prayers of rejoicing with Jean Johnson, who lives on the family ranch west of town. She'll be 95 on Tuesday. What a joy. Belle. Prayers for Buzz as he recovers from a bleeding episode. Mike. Prayers for a friend, Alex, who's living with the hard diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. Debbie. Thank you, Debbie. Next Saturday, if you're a volunteer with the Sandwich Ministry, be aware that Sovereign Grace is preparing the breakfast, the lunches. So they will not be meeting here. They'll meet at Sovereign Grace, and help is still needed at King's Corner to hand those out. On September 8th, we'll celebrate 5 years of the Sandwich Ministry. Debbie has asked us to pray for the homeless in our community, especially those who are just looking for a safe place to spend their time for various reasons. Even though there are shelters available in our community, not everyone is comfortable going to a homeless shelter. And so currently the report is that there are four people sleeping beneath one of the bridges in town. Our Casper police, because of safety concerns for the community, police areas where the homeless stay. So this is obviously a point of conflict and concern for those who need shelter. So please pray for those who are homeless in our community and those who try to help them. Are there other concerns today? Then let us turn to the Lord in a time of shared silence as we pray together. Holy God, you are the one true God. We know you as Father and Son and Spirit. You are one. O Lord, we, your people, live diverse lives. We speak different languages and call different lands home. And yet in Christ, we are united. We come before you now, Lord, united in prayer and in love. As one people with one voice, we ask your blessing upon all those that we have named today. Lord, we pray for healing for Gene as he goes through therapy at Poplar. We pray for Belle's father, Buzz. For Paul's wife, Melanie, as they're at the Wyoming Medical Center. We pray for a friend, Alex, who's been diagnosed with Parkinson's. And for Trisha's dad, who'll receive a port and treatment for cancer. Oh Lord, there are diseases that afflict the human body with pain and suffering and struggle. We pray for courage and healing for those who are sick or suffering. Lord, we pray for healing for our friend Amber as she struggles with depression and anxiety. Even in this moment, God, we ask you to calm her soul and draw her closer to you. May she be blessed this morning to know moments of peace as we hold her in prayer. Lord, we pray for Mary Decker recovering from a mini stroke. For all of those who need physical healing, oh God, we ask this presence of your Spirit to be with each one in accordance with your will. We pray for healing for those who mourn, for Cheryl, and for others who are on the journey of grief. We thank you for journeys of joy, and we pray your blessing upon little Matthew Heckfelt and his family. Oh God, the world needs you. We pray this day for people in Japan who are blessed by the ministry of Jeff and other missionaries. We pray for firefighters, especially across the West, as they battle wild blazes. Lord, we pray for the homeless in our community, that they may be seen not as a problem, but as people. Lord, we pray for those who want to be employed and cannot find work. We pray for those who struggle with mental illness. We pray for those who are homeless through no fault of their own, for whom expenses far outweighed their income and they found themselves in a situation they had never imagined. Oh God, we ask your blessing to be upon the Central Wyoming Rescue Mission, upon day shelters, upon the Salvation Army, and upon the sandwich ministry shared by our congregation and other churches in town. Lord, there are many in our community who care about the homeless and who care for the homeless. Lord, we pray today that those who have no roof over their heads might find a place of welcome and a place of shelter. Oh Lord, we pray for a place of welcome in eternity for your servant, Pastor Steve Willis. Oh God, we ask your blessing upon the members of First Christian Church in Las Vegas who this morning are worshiping without their beloved pastor. As people gather together and pray with heavy hearts, we ask, oh God, that your spirit might be in their midst, to comfort those who are shocked by an accident, to comfort a congregation uncertain of their future. Oh Lord, bless them with your presence and your strength as they care for one another. Good and gracious God, the prayers that we name before you aloud and the prayers that we hold in our hearts represent only a fraction of the needs of our world and our lives. But we are blessed indeed, O God, that you are greater than all human concern. Your strength lifts us up, and your peace passes understanding. And so we pray to you, the one true triune God. We pray to you, the one source of life, for love and peace in our world. O Lord, make of us one people, bearing the name of Christ, in whose name we pray and we live. Amen. During the summer months, we share communion by intinction. You're invited to come forward by the center aisle, take a piece of bread, dip it in the cup, and partake. If you are more comfortable receiving communion in your pew or partaking of an individual piece of bread and a cup from the tray, you're welcome to do that. You may remain seated and you'll be served where you are. All those who believe in Christ are welcome to share in the Lord's Supper in this place. You don't need to show a membership card. You don't have to pass a test. You just have to know in your heart how important and precious this meal is, a sign of God's love given to God's people, the church. When we come to the table, part of what we do here is to remember. We remember the night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. We also remember. We reassemble the body of Christ. For each one of us becomes a part of Jesus' presence in the world. And as we come together at the table, the members of Christ's body are united again in sharing the bread and the cup. May you remember this day as you share in the Lord's Supper. We'll prepare for communion by singing together number 408, Come Share the Lord.
Here, here.
betrayed, he met with his friends in the upper room. While they were seated at the table, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body given for you." And in the same manner, Jesus took the cup and blessed it and said, "Take this, all of you, and drink of it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of a new and eternal covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." As long as we drink this cup and eat this bread, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
Lord, as we take this bread, we remember that you are the bread of life. You feed our souls, you nourish our hearts, and you give us sustenance to run the race before us. As we break the bread, we feel the softness of your love for us. We smell the fragrance of the grace you release afresh each day. We thank you with all our hearts for the great price you paid. As we drink from the cup, we see your sacrifice poured out for us. We notice the depth of your goodness and the pain you suffered for us. Yet, just as the tombstone rolled away to unleash the risen Lord, your light shines in our heart now, releasing heaven's blessings upon us. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Please join me in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that we can always trust in you. You are an abundant God, and out of your great mercy, you have given us so much. We give you this offering today, and with it, we worship you and give our whole selves to you. Please take it and use it for your kingdom. Extend and multiply its reach and influence. May it be a blessing to many. We ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Our scripture reading today is Ephesians 4, 1 through 8. It's on page 193 of your Pew Bible. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people.
Our reading continues in verse 9 through 16. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I would invite you at some point during the week to offer a prayer for Billy Triplett. He had really wanted to sing this morning, but Billy is struggling with health, and today apparently is not a good day, and he's not able to be here. So we hope that there'll be another opportunity later in the summer when he can sing. What a blessing it's been to have Lonnie at the piano. That prelude this morning was magnificent. Thank you, my friend. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, as we listen to your word, we strive to listen to you. Speak, O God, for your people are listening. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The body of Christ.
This image shows up not just in Ephesians 4, it also comes to us in the book of Corinthians. Paul and the writer of Ephesians speak to us of how each member of the church is a part of the body of Christ. It makes me think. The leg bone's connected to the hip bone. Kind of makes you want to wiggle a little bit. I've been thinking a lot this week about the body of Christ and how each one of us has a different gift. Some of us are called to teach. Some are called to adopt a bathroom. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Carol Sage. Each one of us has a different gift to share. Now, maybe not all gifts are included in that beautiful list of apostles and pastors and teachers and evangelists, but each gift is essential and important. Did you notice how nice the church lawn looks this morning on your way in? We have volunteers who are members of the congregation who've been tending the church grounds all summer. What a blessing that is. Each one of us has a different gift and a different role to play in the body of Christ. If you were to hold in front of yourself the image of Christ's body as an actual physical body, what part of Christ's body might you be? It's a question I always invite the young people in our pastor's class to reflect on their journey towards baptism. And sometimes we find some interesting answers. Some of the kids are very theological, and they talk about how, well, they think they're the mouth in the body because they like to talk. And then we challenge them to think about what it means to be the mouth in the body of Christ. That means you have to talk of kindness and God's love. You have to speak as if your mouth is the mouth of Christ. One time I had a student in one of the pastor's classes who was feeling a little less self-assured. Classmates had talked about being the hands of Christ. They liked to volunteer with the sandwich ministry and do things to help people. Another student in the class had said, well, I'm the feet of Christ because I think everywhere I go, I take God's love with me. They were beautiful answers. And then this one young person said, well, I guess I'm the big toe. We asked what that meant, and he said, well, I don't know. I just couldn't think of anything to say. And I said, well, maybe the big toe means you're that part of the body of Christ that trips us up every once in a while. You know, if you stub your toe, all of your body pays attention. So maybe even though you see yourself as being really small and insignificant, maybe it's important for you to get the church to slow down and pay attention to what's right in front of them. The little guy said, yeah, that's what I meant. What part of the body of Christ are you? Are you the heart of Christ because you love people? Are you the ears of Christ because you're always listening to hear the voice of God? Not just in a pew on Sunday morning, but in birdsong when you walk through a meadow, in the cries of children laughing on a playground. Are you always listening to hear God's word? So your part of the body is the ears. It's a powerful, beautiful image that we have, both from 1 Corinthians and Ephesians 4. It speaks to us of how we're connected one to another. This number one shows up often through Ephesians, the idea of unity. Early in this letter to the church at Ephesus, there's emphasis put on how humanity is united with God through Christ, this human-divine unity. And then there are some verses that dwell on unity in the early church between Gentiles and Jews, who had different traditions but found unity together in the body of Christ. And now in Ephesians 4, there's the sense of unity for all believers, for all of us who are joined one to another. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life
worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Each and every one of us is an embodiment of Jesus Christ in the world. When other people look at us, they see the church. They see Christ for good or for ill. And if we live our lives in such a way that other people see us and don't want to have anything to do with us, that will be their reaction to our Lord and Savior, whom we claim to proclaim. But if when people look at our lives and they see an embodiment of love, that in itself is an attraction to them, to know more about Jesus and the presence of God in and through us. I had an interesting experience this week that embodied this text for me in terms of the connection that we have one with another in the body of Christ. Last Sunday, we were up on the mountain for worship on the mountain. About 60 of us gathered there under the pine trees. Many of you came for that beautiful day of worship. We heard songs from Vacation Bible School. We shared communion together. We sang and we worshiped and we ate fried chicken. It was a wonderful day to be together as the body in the world which God had made. In our midst, up on the mountain for worship, there were two visitors that you may not have had a chance to be introduced to. Nettie and Daryl are members of First Christian Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. They're part of our Disciples of Christ body. For some reason, they decided this summer they didn't want to stay in the 110-degree desert and chose to take a little bit of their retirement to have time in Wyoming. They were renting a house out by Alcova, and they touched base with the church office last week to see what time worship would be Sunday morning. Well, our wonderful secretary, Kathy Winters, answered the phone, and thankfully, she was able to give them excellent directions. They came up Casper Mountain and found us at the first shelter. They were there in worship that day. I was impressed that they had made an effort to come, not just to visit us here for worship while they were traveling, but to drive up Casper Mountain. So Charles and I sat and had lunch with Nettie and Daryl. We enjoyed chatting and hearing a little about the church in Las Vegas, how things are going, how the choir is doing, how much they love their pastor, Steve. Monday morning, we woke up, and Charles was checking social media, and he saw a post from our general minister and president, Terry Horde Owens, offering prayers of sympathy to First Christian Church in Las Vegas because their pastor had been killed. Steve was killed in a boating accident in Alaska. My heart immediately went out to Nettie and Daryl, thinking about what it would feel like for them to be traveling and to receive the word that their pastor had died. I was praying for them all day long. Later in the day, Nettie and Daryl showed up at the church office. They said, "Did you hear the news?" I said, "Yes, I am so sorry." We prayed together for their own loss and their own grief, for Steve's wife, and for that church. This morning, as they gather in worship, their regional ministers from Southern California are going to be with that congregation, leading them through a time of loss, discerning what's next. Now, here's where the interesting part of the body of Christ connecting comes in. The main reason that Nettie and Daryl wanted to worship at First Christian Church Casper is because they knew that Keith Rouse and his family are members here. You see, the Rouses, up until about 8-9 years ago, were members at First Christian Church Las Vegas. They moved to Casper for Keith's job and became a part of our congregation. So Nettie and Daryl came to church because they wanted to see Keith. But Keith and Pam came to chapel last Sunday. They weren't up on the mountain. Well, Nettie and Daryl, of course, were traveling with a cell phone. Unfortunately, it wasn't working. They couldn't get a signal out at Alcova Lake, so they hadn't been able to call Keith and say, hey, we're in town, can we get together? Lo and behold, on the day that Nettie and Daryl showed up at church to ask for prayers after Pastor Steve had passed, guess who was here working on an electrical project? Keith Rouse. I said, Keith, I've got somebody in my office you need to meet. Someone who wants to see you. Come on in. Well, Nettie has gray hair now. 9 years ago, it was dark. At first, Keith wasn't sure, who is this gal who's completely out of context? Introductions, reintroductions were made, and Keith was like, yeah, I remember you. How's Daryl doing? She said, you can ask him. He's down in the parking lot. So Keith and Nettie and I went down from the office to find Daryl sitting on the bench outside the elevator. The two friends were reunited and hugged, and we prayed together. And in that moment, the body of Christ was complete. These disparate pieces from different places God had brought together in a time of need to give comfort to one another. Another recent experience in the body of Christ. There's a young couple who live in Louisiana. A year ago, they lost everything in one of the several devastating hurricanes that have hit the coast. They migrated from Louisiana to South Dakota because friends at a church had connections and found the young man a job on a ranch and a place to live. They had nothing. So this young couple has been living for a year in South Dakota, waiting for FEMA to pay off on their house that was gone. It finally happened. The Federal Emergency Management Agency said, it's time for us to write you a check, but because there have been scams, we want you to be present in New Orleans in person to get your check. So this young couple with their dog and a little toddler named Liliana decided they had to drive in their almost breaking down van from South Dakota to New Orleans. It was a long enough trip. They decided, we want to see a little bit of America on the way. Let's go through Wyoming and head through Denver on the interstate, and then we'll go cross country. They made it as far as Casper, and the van broke down. They used all their money to get the van fixed, and they were stuck. This young couple called and called and called, one church after another after another. I know what it's like to be on the other end of the phone when a call comes from a stranger you've never met saying, I really need some money, some help here. Can you pitch in? I know if that call comes at a time when your church budget's really tight and somebody else has already taken advantage of your fund. I know it's easy to say, look, buddy, I'm really sorry, I just can't help, and hang up the phone. By the time this young couple called First Christian Church, they were at their wits' end. They really just wanted somebody to listen to them and believe them. And again, our great secretary answered the phone. And with patience, Kathy let the young man tell his story and vent about the fact that there were no good churches in Casper, Wyoming, because people had told him, well, if you're not a member of our church, we can't help you. Well, I'm sorry, buddy, your story might be true about a hurricane in Louisiana, but what does that have to do with Wyoming? Leave us alone. Heartbreak after frustration had led this man to the end of his rope, and Kathy just listened. She listened and listened. And she said, I'm really sorry, but the pastor's out of the office. I don't think I can really help if you want to call back. At that moment, the elevator opened and Pastor Cynthia showed up. Kathy said, just a minute, our minister's coming in. Here, let me have you talk to her. So I listened and listened and listened. And I said, so let me understand, you did get your van fixed, it's running. Yes, ma'am, but nobody's going to give me gas, and I'm really hungry. And I said, your van is running. He said, yes. I said, I'll meet you at the gas station. And I gave them directions. So ministry this week in the body of Christ and First Christian Casper looked a little strange. It was two people from Las Vegas and two people from Casper having a prayer circle outside the elevator in the church parking lot. And then it was a pastor, out of a sense of duty inspired by her church secretary, going to a gas station to wait for a white van to show up. The young man got out of the van. He had on shorts and a prosthetic leg because he'd lost his leg in the hurricane from an injury and an infection. This young man had fought through so much just to stay alive, and our town kind of beat him up. I know that there are good and generous people in Casper. I know that if God had just had him call the right phone number, someone would have said, I'll help you. I guess he did. It just took a while to get there. So I prayed in the parking lot with a man and his wife standing outside of a van that now had gas in it, a couple bags of popcorn from the gas station lady, and a couple bags of food from the sandwich ministry that Debbie helped me fill up that morning. As we were getting ready to say amen and goodbye and safe travels, their dog jumped out of the van and took off. And they were in a panic and headed out to look for the dog. I don't know what happened to that young couple, or for that matter, their dog. I don't know if they're still driving around Casper someplace, or if they made it to New Orleans, or they're partway there. But I know that it is the responsibility of the body of Christ to listen when people hurt and to share what we're able to share. Even though we can't solve all the world's problems, we can make a difference. We can turn to someone who's hungry and give them a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And we can turn to someone who needs a person to pray with them, and we can pray with them. That's what we do when we're the body of Christ. Sometimes you're the ear and you listen. Sometimes you're the heart and you love. Sometimes you're the mouth and you speak. Sometimes you're the big toe, and you just kind of hurt enough that somebody else pays attention. One of the great saints of the church, Teresa of Avila, put it this way: Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands. Yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. But ours. May it be a good one. Amen. Our closing hymn today is number 494, They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love. We'll sing the first and the last verses, and as we stand and sing together, if there is anyone wanting to join this part of the body of Christ, we would invite you to come forward and place your membership here at First Christian, either by confession of faith and baptism or transfer of membership, or if you need someone to pray with you, we invite you to come forward today. Let's stand and sing. Thank you.
remind you, if you want to adopt a bathroom, there's a sign-up sheet available to do so. Downstairs, there's a sign-up sheet to volunteer for Fall Feast. There's also a tamale sale sign-up for the Immigration Alliance of Casper. If you want to order tamales, they'll be delivered next Sunday. You can sign up downstairs. I'd invite everyone to stay for a cup of coffee or water, some fellowship, and conversation with one another as the body of Christ. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for carrying the weight of the world in your body on earth. We thank you for going to the cross and carrying our sin there. And then through your resurrection, choosing us now to be your body, to continue to carry your love for all the world to know. May it be so. Amen. I was taught.